Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm super good. I'm very excited to be here.
I am as well. Do you want to tell the good people why we're excited?
Oh my God, we're excited because we have a friend visiting, obviously in a very smart, socially distant way. None of us are hanging out at the same table, sadly, but we do have a returning guest, friend of the podcast, legend, Icon Star, the only videographer to ever live. Jordan Cowan's with us. Hi, Jordan. How are you doing?
Welcome. Hi, Netta. Hi, everybody. Hi,
How
Megan.
How are you?
I'm good. Just happy to be on the phone with more skating people.
That's a lot of what you've been doing, right?
I find it hard to conjure anybody who's been on the phone with more skating people than you these days.
I mean, I think honestly, because skaters can't skate right now, the people who are creating content are people like you who are just kind of continuing to do the things that you did before, which is talk about skating and bring the skating communities together. So it's kind of an honor to be on this show again. And
oh my God, thank you. We're so happy you're here. Obviously, what we want to talk about, Open Ice. I'm just gonna cut straight to the chase. You've done something incredible.
thank you. I mean, we're talking right now on May 11th, and I feel like has it been 2 weeks since then?
Something like that.
Time is doing the most these days. But yeah, April 25th to May 11th. That's like almost 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks. Maybe.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the week after it, I literally took a whole week to rest. I didn't really do anything for a week.
I feel like that's very well earned.
So yeah, in case anybody, I'm sure everybody who's listening to this watched, but yeah, there was this amazing live stream charity event, Open Ice Live, on April 25th, hosted by Caitlin Weaver and Jordan. And it was raising money for the UN Foundation's COVID Solidarity Response Fund.
That was all Caitlin's idea, really, to have like this live show to raise money for COVID relief. And she really wanted it to be a charity that was global in scope, like not anything small or local or stuck to one country. She wanted it to feel like this was something that we did for the entire world. And I think that message came through.
It very much did. I mean, you had guests from all over the world, and obviously working with the UN, it kind of shows that it's not just fundraising for any local charity, which is a good and noble pursuit. Obviously, people who are fundraising locally are doing a great, great service to their communities. But I do think that it very much showed that your outreach was very large. We saw people tuning in from all over the world. So that was very exciting. Tell us about how did all of this start? I know you keep crediting Caitlin as like this was her idea. How do you go from, hey, let's do a live stream to what you guys did?
Well, I do want to give her a lot of credit because stuff like this, like I feel like I'm a producer in a way, but I'm always looking for good ideas. And it was technically like, so Caitlin had watched this fundraiser held by Rosie O'Donnell. Technically, Rosie O'Donnell was the host, but it was produced by this guy who's well known in the Broadway business. And the point of that live stream, it was a very similar format, but it was raising money for the Actors Fund, which is a fund that's been around for a very long time. And it's helped a lot of people in Hollywood. So that was their kind of way to get people involved. Caitlin saw this and she just felt like she needed to do something like that for the skating world. And at the time, I was kind of in my secret lair working on live streaming, which is something that I've been kind of toying with on and off for the past year. And when she gave me that idea, I was like, okay, well, she wants to do it. And right away in my mind, I'm like, this is 100% possible. We have the technology. There's just a few things I need to figure out. And I just told her, like, I wanted to know if she was really that serious. So I said, you know what, if this is something that you want to do, all you really need to do is like make a post on Instagram about it, tell the world your intentions. And, you know, once I saw it, when she posted that video, like that night, and I was like, okay, she's serious about this, then I need to get serious about this. And for the next 4 weeks, like it was 100% work towards building this thing. And it felt epic at the time.
it felt, and watching it as well, it felt like you put out every single possible stop. Like, it was so big and impressive, and I kept thinking about the fact that you guys are, like, at your homes making this happen.
It was so tempting. In the beginning, I really thought that I was going to, like, somehow go to her, because she lives 20 blocks north of us. And I was like, okay, well, would it be possible to, like, be on opposite sides of, like, a very long table so that I can help, like, manage the production? But as time went on, I'm like, that would be so wrong. So I still haven't seen her in person since last year. And the real work that I had to put in was, how do I make sure that it runs technically sound, that if anything goes wrong, I can fix it remotely, even on her end. So I was like, I had a whole bunch of backup strategies planned that I never even had to use because things just didn't go wrong, mostly.
I was really impressed with how smooth it, like, technologically was. Everybody at this point is used to consuming this sort of, oh, I'm watching somebody else's Zoom call type of media. This is one of the smoothest ones I've ever seen. I mean, down to, like, just the transitions. And yeah, I thought I was very impressed. But I also thought sort of what you were saying about being neighbors and still being in your own homes, I actually thought that was really powerful, like, on some level, to watch and be like, yeah, they're social distancing, even though they're kind of neighbors. And I don't know, it's a good relatable example.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't even, like, do an air high five or anything across the street.
I think that's going to be, like, a very nice, very big hug the second you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be very well earned.
I mean, let's hope so. Let's hope that we can get to that. I think, honestly, in a realistic way, especially being from New York, and that also felt like an important part of what we were doing, the fact that we were in this place that everyone kind of considers this epicenter. But obviously we were fine. We were taking all of our precautions and we'll continue to do so. Like, we're in a way, like, we're the hardest hit city, but at the same time, we don't feel like the hardest hit people in this at all. So it just felt good to represent New York City in that aspect.
It set a good example that you guys acknowledged we're neighbors.
Yeah. I have no judgment against countries that aren't, or even states that aren't as hard hit as more densely populated areas. But I feel this obligation to lead by example. Just to be like, look, you may not agree with it. We may not agree with it, but we have to do our part. And if we can do it, you can do it, kind of thing. I know this might be getting off topic, but I feel like it's down to positive thinking. I feel like I could be sitting at home, like, thinking about how I bet my entire career on the ability to travel and film figure skating, neither of which is possible right now or for a long time. But I also felt like I was such an optimistic pessimist or pessimistic optimist before this even happened. Like, I felt prepared at any moment. If I had to stop filming, I had the footage. If for ever any reason I had to stop, I felt prepared for it. And then it happened. And I really did feel mostly prepared for it.
I thought of that. I saw, like, whenever I would see an On Ice Perspectives post, you know, and I would see comments of, like, oh, where are you going to film next, Jordan? I was thinking, like, I'm like, if I know Jordan, he's got, like, so much footage he's gonna have to work through here. It's going to be fine. And I think you're right. Like, I think the skating community in general is so active and, like, shares that sentiment of, like, wanting to do things. And I was curious about sort of how, like, the outreach process went to getting, I mean, gosh, there were so many guests on that show. It was like, who wasn't on it? It was incredible. Like, how did that happen?
I mean, a lot, just combined connections between Caitlin and I. I mean, she really took the lead on contacting everyone. And I was like, you know, you're going to be the one talking to them. We set up a lot of test calls. I think my job was to make sure that people followed through.
Yeah.
And for me, again, it was leading by example, putting out those Instagram posts, like, really hammering. I really, really, like, hammered at the Open Ice Live Instagram account because I wanted everyone to see what everyone else was doing so that they understood that, you know, when you just, the thing about calling 68 people in a row is that you can't put them on a conference call.
Oh, God.
You have to talk to them one by one, but we wanted them to feel like a part of something much bigger.
Yeah.
So I wanted everyone to come out of this. And Caitlin, it's funny because Caitlin didn't quite believe me at the beginning when I told her, Caitlin, I want everyone who's a part of this to be like so glad that they were a part of this. Like I don't want them to feel like they were taken advantage of. I want them to feel like their image has been enhanced from being a part of this project.
Yeah.
And Caitlin's like they would, like Jane and Chris would ever feel that, like Brian Orser would feel like that. And then when it actually happened, like the feedback we got from everyone was like, wow, like this was something bigger than any one person. I felt like that was mission accomplished for me. Like everyone felt elevated because of it.
Something that I personally really appreciated was those moments of like overlap whenever you would finish a conversation with one of the guests and introduce the other one so they would have a moment of like connection themselves.
Yeah.
Because first of all, mind-blowing, like engineering-wise, the way it moved so smoothly was very impressive to me. But also like that made it feel like people coming in and out of the same conversation and not just, here's a pre-recorded message from so-and-so.
I mean, that's, again, Caitlin's idea. She had a lot of ideas and my job was just to like see if it was possible or not. And that was one of those things. Once I figured out how to do it, I was like, okay. It was, yeah, you're right. The engineering, I'm such an engineer. and so when someone comes to me with like an idea, I'm really, really good at either saying, yes, we can do it, or no, we can't, but why don't we try to do this instead?
Yeah.
And yeah, what came out kind of felt like magic.
What are your memories of actually running it? Because I know, for example, like Megan and I come from the theater. There's a lot of times when people come out of like a performance and are like, oh my God, that was so good when you did blah, 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 blah. And you've been doing it the whole time, so you don't really remember.
Mm-hmm. Just no memories, all adrenaline.
How was your experience of actually being in this?
I can say I almost didn't go to the bathroom. Almost. There was, because I, even though I'm not on screen the whole time, I was constantly like tweaking things, checking in on people. Like there was a whole backstage area. So I was kind of like looking at all of these faces silently who were all kind of like wandering around watching the stream as well, like keeping people on their toes. There's a lot about it that I don't quite remember. And I kind of wish I was wearing my Apple Watch at the time to kind of see how my heart rate moved for those 4.5 hours.
Because
It was just straight adrenaline. And we did a rehearsal the day before. That was 3.5 hours. So I kind of knew it and was ready. It was a lot of practice. I, like a good skater, I like rehearsed by myself and just even practice just clicking things. I like got my fingers warmed up to click the buttons at the right time. Cause if you slip, you might bring in the wrong guest. Lots of rehearsal is good. If you can rehearse to the point where you don't have to think about the little things and you can just kind of flow, then you've done a good job.
Were there any special guests that were particularly special for you to see or that you were really surprised to get on the event?
I mean, not to say anyone wasn't exciting to bring on, but the person I think Caitlin and I both shared the most excitement about was seeing Jane and Chris on.
Yeah.
Watching that her moment. React to that was so precious and wholesome. It was just such a pure moment for me. And I'm sure like everyone else watching. Too. It was so sweet to see how just like genuinely excited she was over the two of them being on the stream. So tell me, tell us more about that.
Well, like, so I've worked with Jane and Chris through 2 seasons of Dancing on Ice now, and yeah. I got to work with them very extensively this past season because we did this amazing one-shot performance that was aired live and might be winning some like crazy awards. But I got to work with them heavily in the camera blocking for it, and I kind of got to develop my own stuff. But every single day I came in to work with them, I was just like, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is so exciting. Like, thank you so much. It never really wears off. And, you know, they're so kind and so humble. When they tell you you've done a great job and then you realize like how many people they must have worked with through their careers, how many crazy, unique experiences they must have had. And then they tell you that you did a good job. You're just like, yeah, that's a badge I can wear.
You got to like put that on your resumes. That was such a special moment. And I think like everyone who was watching for sure felt that. Obviously not to say that everyone else who joined was not equally as incredibly exciting for I was watching Twitter as it was happening, and a lot of it was people just being like, oh my God, Sutter person showed up for like 4 hours.
That was a lot of what my live tweeting was, I have to admit. Just being excited. Not just because we love them, but because it's been so long since we've seen a lot of them.
How about we talk about the fact that you more than doubled your fundraising goal while the event was still happening?
Yeah, that was awesome. In my mind, I was like, I wanted 15,000 to be like the goal that we had before the live stream even started, and then raise it to something else. But once we got momentum, I was like, you know what? Let's just let people enjoy like kicking us past our goal. Because again, like Caitlin did not believe me when I'm like, yeah, let's set 15,000 as our goal. She's like, no. I mean, it would be great if we made like 5,000, sure. But I don't know. I always had really good faith in what we were capable of. So watching that thing hit it, and then Adam came on, and it was just everything that could have gone right went right. That's all I can say. That's why I felt very lucky when it was over.
People can still donate, right? How do they do that?
I mean, they can donate till the end of the month, technically. It doesn't clock out until May 31st. I put that window in there just to be safe, like just in case we wanted to come up with anything else, in case we needed to like still reach our goal. I didn't want anyone to feel pressure. Like, you can still watch the live stream on YouTube on both our On Ice Perspectives and the ISU's YouTube channels. The link is still openicelive.com/donate. And yes. the website we have for the next 2 years. So
incredible. So if you're listening to this and you haven't donated yet and it's within your capability, please go and chip in.
The idea is that I want people to feel enriched by it. So the best way to convince people to donate is really just to convince them to watch it. Because once they watch it, they understand like really we really got the message across through any 5-minute section of the entire show.
If someone had only 5 minutes to go and find, what's your highlight?
Oh, 5 minutes to find it. I saw a clip, a few people like made replays of it and posted it on Instagram, which I thought was awesome. The makeup challenge.
Oh my God.
The three groups. Cause again, we know them so well. We used to train with them. That was so much fun. Cause we hadn't rehearsed it.
Poor Caitlin with the red all over the whole face. Just like there was a lipstick everywhere but her lips. Yeah.
A bold choice was made. It was good, I think, to balance some of the more somber moments with something as fun as that, or like the amount of like egg cooking advice that we got. Just a really good time. Like, I'm talking about it and now I'm like, should I go and watch all of it again?
I know, I want to rewatch it. I liked also the trivia challenge with our upcoming Jeopardy champion. I know it, Mr. Jackie Wong.
Yeah. He's given us during rehearsals and when we talked to, because Jackie was, again, one of the first people that we called and rehearsed with. You know, we did like a practice trivia round with other questions. And he told us a few more details about his Jeopardy, and like, just what an awesome guy to have in the skating world. That's all I really have to say. To me, I feel like he and you guys, that you're all a representation of like the force for good in the skating community right now. Like, we really realize we have to band together and support each other and have fun with it at the same time. And it's important to be able to have both support and having fun.
Maybe we should try to get on like Family Feud or something and just really like really spread the agenda to as many people as possible about skating.
Just as many game shows as possible.
We were talking before you came on the call about how we both really appreciated what Sandra Stark had to say, and how it was so nice to hear from like a sports psychologist and various coaches and like people from sort of all corners of the skating world.
Yeah, we really brought on a lot of people who had been integral in Caitlin's career as well. There's so much that goes into skating. We should have had this conversation like a week ago, because I got like really, really philosophical after Open Ice. just thinking, trying to understand what happened. And something that I realize is, you know, skating on the outside, it looks like this solo sport. You know, when you watch it on TV, you see this one skater or two skaters on the ice on a huge, enormous empty field, and it's just them, the music, and the judges. But then you have to remember that skating is like, it's really a team sport. You don't just have one coach anymore. You have like a whole team of coaches, and you have mental health therapists and nutritionists and the Figure Skating Association people who come in and critique you, and judges. And it's crazy because all of these things can still kind of exist right now, even in quarantine. Like, skaters are by themselves, but they're still in Zoom calls with the same people that they were talking to from the beginning, from choreographers to dress designers. It all still continues. It all goes on, even if they're not on the ice. It's so much more than that.
Yeah, I think that was also a good reminder for a lot of us, a lot of people who are on the audience side of figure skating and not necessarily skaters, that it's always validating when you see the other people who are involved in making the sport happen, because it contextualizes a lot of, I feel like, I hope that once we're back to, like, you know, all sitting around the same arena and watching an event, that people can remember what the athletes and their teams were like in a unprecedented time of, like, extreme crisis. It's so easy to be very critical or judgmental of someone if all you see is, like you say, like, the 3.5 minutes of one person performing a thing. Yeah.
And likewise, like, with the rivalries and everything, I mean, it all only matters so much. And then at a time like this, everyone's just like, okay, but it sounds cheesy, but, like, we're all on the same team. We're all in the same community at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's thinking about who was rivals, you know, 5, 10 years ago, or even today when we're all just trying to put something together, right?
Yeah, I do feel like that a lot of times because you don't see all the people behind the scenes as often, it gets too easy to think of this sport as, like, it's, you know, one skater versus another skater, one coach versus another coach. But I really think, like, it's figure skating versus, like, football, you know, it's figure skating versus, and both kinds of football, it's figure skating versus esports. It's not even about, like, getting skaters into it, but getting viewers. Like, who cares if you win this competition if there were only so many people in the audience and they can't even afford to hold the competition the next year?
Yeah.
I want there to be more opportunities for skaters to compete and perform shows and for people to watch skating. So the best way to do that is for the top athletes and the top coaches to be supporting each other. But
yeah,
it's really hard to when they're having to fight over this ever shrinking piece of the pie.
Yeah. It's hard because you want, like, while competitive season is going on, you want, like, the drama and the intrigue of a challenge and a rivalry and all of that. But there is also what you're saying, which is incredibly more important, just the fact that for this sport to keep happening, people have to be able to come together for when it matters.
There's definitely drama in the fact that, like, you go to a skating competition and they're not even selling out, like, the lower bowl. To me, that's, like, that's horrifying. That's drama that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, it's honestly, like, the accessibility and affordability of the sport is, like, a whole other beast that is just scary to think of. And we don't know. Like, we don't know what next season's going to look like.
Yeah, how that would be impacted one way or the other.
It almost feels unimportant, like, related to when you compare it to, like, everything else the world is going through right now. But at the same time, it's, like, it's troublesome, right, to think about how we don't even, like, no one knows when and how anything will be allowed to happen. Not to get upsetting here, you know. Not to be a downer.
And now we have, like, the dramatic siren in the background. Well, I was actually going to ask, Jordan, just before we started talking, you were telling us about how you've been playing around a lot with live streaming and you know, honing this new skill in your brand new office studio. And I was just curious, like, what's next for that? What's your next project or dream scenario with your live streaming?
Well, when I film skaters, you know, I might just have 30 minutes with them. I might have 3 days with a whole school. But there's so much. It, to me, like, Instagram has felt like a promotional tool, specifically because I'm promoting what's going to happen next. Like, you follow on Instagram to see what's happening next. And I got really stuck in this mode of, like, grow, you know, who are going to be my next 100,000 followers? Who can I attract next? That I started to kind of forget about, you know, my first 100,000 or my first 10,000. Like, I wasn't really making content for them, I felt like I was making content for people who weren't following me, because that's kind of the point of Instagram, is to just keep growing. When the quarantine happened, growth stopped, and there are a number of factors with that. But the main factor was there wasn't really anything to look forward to, right? There was no following to see what happens next, because in the end, everything is just a throwback Thursday. You know, all the footage that I have is old footage. It was recorded even before I left for Dancing on Ice in December. Mm. Now, it's all great footage, and a lot of it has never been seen, but I started having trouble even looking at it because I had lost my motivation. You know, my motivation was always, well, let me post this video, because then I can call this place and show them this video and say, I want to film here next. But this thought that I've had for a very long time, well over a year, is while I'm making these 60-second videos out of a 30-minute session, that's 29 minutes of footage that never really gets seen because it's not like the best footage. But it's really fun to go through, and it's really fun to watch. And sometimes I wish I just had someone looking over my shoulder. I wish I could just share this with the skaters that I was filming and kind of say, hey, check this moment out. I mean, that's cool, right? Yeah, that's funny. What were we thinking here? Like, how did that happen? And so what I realized was, when this happened, this was my chance to kind of let go of what I was doing previously. I mean, most people might have noticed that I haven't really posted any videos in the past month and a half. I was trying to for a while, but it just wasn't getting the same. It wasn't giving me the emotional results that I wanted for anybody. I know there are a lot of people who are like, they really, really want to watch skating footage right now. And I feel like Instagram just isn't good enough for that. I was speaking to a few very, very old skating friends who are like, we miss your videos, but also like, you should be doing more to connect the skating community. And then Open Ice happened. But that was like a one-time thing. And I want to do something that's much more casual, much more regular, something that people can look forward to, tune in if they want to, but under no obligation do they have to. Like, Open Ice was like a must-see event, but I want to make something that people can tune in if they're interested and tune out if they're not. So starting very, very soon, I will be going live, hopefully every day, with a little bit of footage and possibly the skaters that I filmed it with.
Oh my God.
And we're all going to be on the screen, kind of like Open Ice. There was a moment in Open Ice, actually, when this was the hope. There was a moment in Open Ice when we played Patrick Chan's skating with Eric Radford. That's a very special moment for all of us. I mean, the things that had to happen for that video to be made could fill a book. But that video was made. It's been on my Instagram and my Facebook or YouTube for almost a year now. And, you know, like, but there's something more added to it. Like, everyone was watching it live. We were all watching it together at the same time. It just wasn't like something that you stumbled upon. And the goal after that was to bring Patrick and Eric on and talk about it. But unfortunately, Patrick wasn't able to make it that day. So we just had to move on. But my next project is essentially going to be that. Like, we are going to look at videos with the skaters and just have fun. Like, I can't promise they'll be anywhere as epic as that video was. You know, again, this is a teaser even for me because I have to make sure it happens. But I have Gabby and Guillaume's Free Dance and Rhythm Dance from this year that I filmed back in December. So not the latest version, but still like a work in progress version. And it would be great to watch that with them. They've never seen it. And then just like have live commentary over it, or like pause it when we want to and like talk about this, talk about that, and just enjoy it together. You know, I think every skater right now would totally tolerate seeing video of them skating because that's the best that we can get. And in a way, like, I want to create, in my head, it was like, this is virtual on ice perspectives. Everybody gets to skate with us at the same time. So that's the goal.
I can't wait.
This is so exciting. And I don't know, maybe it's just because we're theater people, but I personally think it's always so exciting to see people talk about their work.
Right before this phone call, I did a test with two skaters from Disney on Ice who I filmed in Central Park. I haven't released any of this footage yet, so it was the first time they saw it too. And the reactions were, to me, like, it was really, really, really cool to see these skaters react to seeing themselves skate. And just my camera, like, makes people look so much better than they see themselves. And I've always wanted to, like, share that reaction. And I really do think, like, I think every day could be a little bit of catharsis. in that way. That's the goal. No one's ever done this before. No one's ever even attempted this, as far as I know, in almost any sport. So I know that growing people's appetite for it is going to be very difficult because people don't even know that they want it yet. Kind of like when I started on Ice Perspectives, it feels like I'm starting all of that over again.
But I feel like there is a market for people have always liked seeing like a reaction video.
It's like the director's cut or like the actor's commentary on a DVD. And it's like, you know, I think a lot of the figure skating fans spend a fair amount of time speculating about how did this skater feel about this performance or what are they thinking about while they skate. And I think any window into how any individual skater thinks or works or approaches their own work and their own sport is always something that everybody is very excited to consume. So I know I'm excited to see this.
I'm thinking about we got to a couple months ago, we got to interview Camden Polkinen, and something that made an impression on me when we did that was I was thinking about how rare it is for figure skaters to get a chance to talk about their work, because he had like some very, very smart things to say about like what goes through his mind and like how he approaches performance. And I was thinking the entire time, like, this is something that I've almost never heard. And now here you are going to bring that to us. And I'm so hyped.
A lot of times they just don't even know what to say or how to say it, because who's asking them but someone with a mic in front of their face at a post-competition. Most skaters, they don't like seeing themselves. They don't like seeing footage of themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're, again, like when I started, I knew that most skaters were trained to see footage of themselves by their coaches showing them all of their errors and flaws. Yeah. And if you can show them something that makes them feel otherwise, then you've reached, you know, you never, the reactions will be unpredictable, which is really fun for an audience. My goal is like to continue doing this even past the pandemic. Like if I can make this my next thing, it'll be my motivation for the next year and a half, 2 years at least.
This is such a cool project. I can't wait to see it happen. And we're for sure going to drag you in here so you can tell us more about it once it's happening. Before we do anything else, Jordan, do you want to repeat where people can still donate and be a part of this before the end of the month of May?
I mean, the website is going to be up for a while, but the donations are open until May 31st. If you go to openicelive.com, you'll get to the website. If you want to go straight to the donation link where you can see exactly how much we've raised, it's openicelive.com/donate.
As of time of recording, you guys have fundraised $41,688.
I mean, thank you everyone who has donated. That's the other thing, is that it's kind of like with followers, like you're so focused on like getting the next donations, but you have to remember that people donated $41,000. Like that is and I looked at the list and it's over 1,000 people. The UN Foundation as well. And like, they were so appreciative of what we were doing. Even before we'd raised a dollar, they were like, it's just so great to see like the skating community. Like, yeah, man, we skaters, we're just a cool lot. I think we're the royalty of the sports. Maybe.
You know what? I agree with that.
I think that there's a case to be made for that. So Jordan, why don't you plug your social media handles as well in case anybody on earth isn't following
it's
you?
At On Ice Perspectives on Instagram, on Twitch. It's facebook.com/onicesperspectives, youtube.com/onicesperspectives, and on Twitter, because that's too long, it's just @iceperspectives.
And what's your Patreon?
My Patreon is patreon.com/onicesperspectives. And I just want to give a shout out to everyone out there who is supporting it currently, because that has really helped me weather this storm. In fact, it was because I had a Patreon that I was able to tell Caitlin, like, hey, I'm going to take a break from making On Ice Perspectives content and I'm going to do this, which is just as important. Having that support from a community that I got to grow from scratch has been a lifesaver for me at this time. And I hope that they know that they're the ones helping me to develop this new live streaming show as well.
Yay. Patreon patrons really are the best. We want to thank ours as well.
Wow, that was smooth.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Hey, listen, sometimes I'm an audio professional too. We do like to shout out our Patreon patrons on air as one of our little perks. I will do this now. And one of them is with us. So thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Danny, Julia, Daniel, Heath, Jennifer, Caitlin, Susan, Phoebe. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva. Danielle Gleichengau's choreography number one stan. Joseph, KM, Samira, Haley, Sally, and Aura. We love you. You keep the lights on.
Megan, where can people find you if they want to tell you how much of an incredible audio professional you actually are?
They can find me at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter and Instagram. I just got Animal Crossing, so DM me if you want to come to my island. Netta, but what about you?
I'm at Netta Marie on Instagram and Twitter. I do not have Animal Crossing, but I do have a pair of cheap roller skates, so you can come see me get very hurt in a very socially responsible way on the internet.
That's content, baby. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jordan. We always love having you on. You're welcome back anytime.
Yes, anytime.
Thank you, Jordan.
Yay.
Anytime.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for your absolutely incredible work in the community.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, we hope everybody is taking care, and we will talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye, Ice Cubes. We love you.
Oh, God. Bye.
They love being called Ice Cubes. You just don't, you're just a hater.